KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After signing another round of executive orders, President Trump telling reporters he supports Elon Musk's email to employees asking to list their accomplishments in the past 5 days, saying his administration is trying to find out if employees are working. The White House earlier says the request is voluntary, but President Trump disputed that.
Well, it's somewhat voluntary, but it's also if you don't answer, I guess you get fired. What it is, do people exist?
Republican Senator Leader John Thune today said agency heads confirmed by Congress should have more oversight than Doge and Elon Musk. Ukrainian officials say President Zelensky will travel to the U.S. on Friday and that Ukraine and the U.S. have agreed on a mineral rights deal. Pope Francis, who is battling pneumonia, remains in critical but stable condition, according to the Vatican today, with no new respiratory episodes. And the measles outbreak in West Texas has jumped to 124 cases. New cases this week. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. There's a major error in one of the first ads in the state Supreme Court race after Elon Musk's group got involved. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
Elon Musk's the major donor behind Building America's Future, which will spend $1.6 million in supporting conservative Brad Schimmel over liberal Susan Crawford. One of their first ads says, quote, Susan Crawford is wrong for Wisconsin, end quote, with a photo of her. But there's one big problem. It's the wrong Susan Crawford. The one they included in their ad, Susan P. Crawford, is a law professor at Harvard. And when you look up Susan Crawford on Wikipedia, you end up on the professor's page and you find that photo. Crawford's campaign called it shameful and a fraud and said, quote, Wisconsinites shouldn't trust a single thing from these guys, end quote. Now, this comes after another ad issue a few weeks ago where the Schimmel campaign ran a spot with an edited photo of Susan Crawford that turned her smile into a scowl. The Schimmel campaign admitted the photo was edited.
The largest Flag Day parade in the country with over 50,000 spectators will take place in Appleton on Saturday, June 14th. The City of Appleton Parades Committee is now accepting applications for the 74th Appleton Flag Day Parade. It's also accepting applications for the Memorial Day Parade on May 26th. The deadline to apply to be in either parade is April 15th. See our story at WGBW.FM for more information and links. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.FM.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt chilling sitting. I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be in city all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with some rain and snow showers tonight, 10 lows in the low 30s. Any rain wraps up early tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild, highs in the low 40s. And again in the low 40s Thursday with a mix of sun and clouds. Near 50 Friday and breezy. Right now it's 48.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411. And the diverse and resilient Appleton Room to Be Safe is hosting a monthly drop-in night for LGBTQ plus adults, which will have social connection, fun, and resource sharing, and best of all, support. These meetings are available once a month from now through April. They are completely free and unstructured, so you can come when you want and leave when you want. If you're interested, go to wgbw.fm and click events to learn more.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
About half of us will experience a mental health concern at some point in our lives. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. So let's open up about our mental health on the next new WISCO Weekend.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in and listening. You could be a big part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got lots to get to this hour, but I know we have some kind of lingering conversation with regards to choice slash voucher slash charter, call it what you want, schools here in the state of Wisconsin. $500 million going towards that effort. We do have an election coming up April 1st for a new DPI secretary, right? Dr. Jill Underley right now is the superintendent. She'll be on the ballot against the person who makes money consulting to the voucher schools.
Indeed.
Now there's money in government money. Weird how that works out.
So strange.
855-752-4842. Mark, I see you there, but I do want to throw this one out there because I don't know. It's just like it's like the radio god just put this one in my lap. Because this was not a topic. I got a whole page of notes here, man.
No, we put together a full show. Dom comes rolling in and goes, hey, I heard Maggie talking about vouchers. Maybe we should hit on that.
It just I get going on it, man. It's a trigger point for me, obviously.
Just a little bit.
A little bit on this, and we'll take your calls. And I promise we'll move on. We got Doge updates. We got who was funding? Brad Schimmel's election efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're
who is Susan Crawford, really?
Oh, who is she? Well, is Susan M or Susan P. Crawford? Who knows? A little baseball on that, but we'll just say the Cubs. So we'll put that one on the back burner as well. Some of the court cases going against Donald Trump and Doge. And more as well. We'll get to it all. We promise. 855-752-4842. But to put a bow on the education conversation.
For now,
for this very moment. From the Raw Story, Republican state senator in Oklahoma fruitlessly raged as his colleagues passed a bill to outlaw corporal punishment of disabled students in schools.
Huh? Can you read that again for me?
A Republican raged as his colleagues passed a bill to outlaw corporal punishment of disabled students in schools. Yeah, that's true. That's what it says.
Raged because his colleagues passed a bill outlawing, making it illegal to corporally punish,
to beat.
Disabled student.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right.
There's more to it.
Oh, goody.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
SB 364, introduced earlier this month by fellow Republican Senator David Rader, revives a long controversial issue that it has been frequently debated in the state legislature. As the bill was debated, Senator Shane Jett, one of the most outspoken opponents of the bill, told Rader that Here's his grievance. The Bible sanctions corporal punishment and demanded to know how his legislation conforms with Scripture. The Bible sanctions corporal punishment and demanded to know how his legislation conforms with Scripture. I mean, doesn't the Bible sanction all sorts of things that probably are, I think, are illegal? Like if God tells you to...
There is actually a commandment in Torah that says that not only can you, but you must stone a rebellious child.
Must stone. So yeah. Hit them with rocks until they die.
That's right.
Now, can you use the sing rock, wriggle rock over and over, or do you have to, like, throw it? You got
I'm not sure.
See, I think there's a legit there's a rule to stoning. You got to dig a hole. You got to put them in it, and you got to like throw stuff at them. I'm not up on my stoning. I mean, these days it means something different.
it's like I'm going to
Illinois or Detroit or something. But no, this is literally Republican Senator Saint Shane Jett. Hey man, the Bible sanctions corporal punishment. How does this legislation conform with Scripture? Rader replied by quoting the Bible himself, leading to a lengthy religious argument on the floor of the Senate, according to the Oklahoma Political Observer Tyler Talley. Not all discipline needs to be one way, Rader said. Special needs students need special discipline. This says it won't be physical. But Jett, again, this is the righty, hard righty, who has repeatedly made the argument in the past, whenever the subject has come up for debate, wasn't convinced. He continued to call the bill a violation of Scripture, accused it of singling out schools that allowed parental consent for corporal punishment, and contained the measure and complained the measure was socialist.
Socialist!
If you can't...
Fellas, is it socialist to not subscribe to physical abuse?
Apparently it is. God wants physical abuse, according to this
guy, God also
Jett.
Doesn't want you to mix your fabrics.
Linens and wools. And don't even get me going on the shrimp. Mm-mm. Enjoy the shrimp cocktail.
tasty little sea bugs.
Tasty bugs. Let's see what else here. A little bit more. In the end, Jett's opposition was pushed aside and the bill passed. The bill outlawing corporal punishment of special needs children passed 31-16. He's 16? Damn! Jett has previously attracted attention for other peculiar policy positions. He endorsed far-right state superintendent Ryan Walter's plan to put Trump-endorsed God Bless USA Bibles in the classroom and introduced legislation this year that would deregulate the production and sale of donkey milk without clarifying why he considered this necessary. Donkey milk? What? Oklahoma, yo, what's happening down there?
Y'all okay?
So, I mean, but, okay, so here's, and this is what, a religious argument on the debate on what's in Scripture and what that means. And it, to my position, it could mean whatever the hell you want it to mean because it's all about interpretation, right? You two people can read the same freaking thing and come out with their own religious belief to justify whatever act they want to take.
You know what, Dom? I taught my 7th graders that this past Sunday.
you should go to Oklahoma. I don't know. You might get stoned talking down there.
Especially as a little lady.
That's right, you ladies. Uh-huh. You should smile more, Jess. So that's the education update here in this country. What? Come on. The Bible says you can do it. Why are we not doing it? That's the justification.
That's the justification.
And this is why we don't want religion in the classroom.
Or as a counter, let's have lots and lots and lots of religion in the classroom taught in an academic manner. And the fact that there is great diversity of belief and experience in this world, and that is fantastic. There are many different ways that people have found of making just the tiniest bit of sense in a crazy, crazy world. And let's not teach it in the form of this is how you become a practitioner. And we want you to become a practitioner of this very specific tradition.
And if you don't, the eternal hellfire and damnation for you.
Right.
Now go have your milk and sleep on your little mat for nap time. Come on, man. Listen, and I appreciate that from a cultural perspective. Sure, I get that. But my problem with that is what's the limiting factor? You know, because can it be taught as mythology? I mean, I remember taking like those kinds of classes.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Right. So if you're going to lump it all in with that kind of thing. And
as world beliefs.
As world beliefs, certainly. And yeah. And those are, you know, culturally, people can and should be a well-rounded individual should at least know that those things are out there. I'm okay with that. Again, it depends on the context. If you're talking about world culture, you're talking about history, those kinds of things, sure. If you're talking about a matter, a practice of belief, a belief structure that they are going to try to get you to conform to, then that's certainly a different ask.
Yes.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There will be no corporal punishment on this show unless you ask nicely. 855-75-CIVIC. Real quick, before we get to the callers, this reminded me of a time when I was young. And it wasn't for me specifically, although I had... I was always kind of a sass, and that'll happen. But, you know, and I kind of got away with a lot of it, so that, you know, it didn't discourage the behavior. But I was the youngest of three, and I recall as a child, so I was 5 years behind my sister, who was the first, obviously, to go attend the private school at Xavier. And at that time, there were nuns, there were brothers, there were, you know, obviously priests, and they literally had like a dean of discipline. This was a role that somebody had. This is the one, you know, keeping all the kids in line. Well, apparently at one point, and, you know, again, I was a child, and this is a long time ago, and I'm going off of memory here. My sister, who was also a little like me as well, my brother, I don't know where he came from, but my sister and I were the hell raisers. My brother, much, much less so, although he did it in his own way. She got into trouble when she was at school, and the dean of discipline smacked her across the face.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Dad got wind, did not like that. We're 50 miles away from school. He was there in like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And apparently there were conversations and apologies, and that never happened again. And I've always had the attitude, you know, my kids can be, if they're sass, that's fine. You know, discipline them, put them in a corner, give them the timeout, you know, that kind of thing. Don't ever lay hands on my kid, ever. Don't lay hands on anybody. Don't lay hands on me. Don't lay hands. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn what the circumstances is, what they said, what they do. If for some reason my child attacked you and you defend yourself, I can understand that, perhaps. I mean, we all got the right to defend ourselves. But as a matter of discipline in an academic setting, to think that in some way, shape, or form that hitting my kid would ever be okay, that is just not the world that I live in. And there would be some serious repercussions, as I'm sure there were. And to my understanding, nothing got physical when my father took exception to my sister getting literally slapped across the face at school.
Now, your sister, after that, did she develop any sort of deep affection for that school? Did she, you know, come around and go, hey, you know what? This really is the path for me. This is what I want.
I, to some degree, absolutely. I think she did. I think she enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed the experience. Okay. And by the time I got there, that position was eliminated. There was no longer a dean of discipline. And most of the brothers were on there. Just a few nuns left. You know, it was a little bit more, you know, teacher and academic-y versus religion. Although, obviously, there were religion classes. So that did not, to my interpretation and understanding, really impact how she viewed the rest of her school career, let's call it. But that was not acceptable, and she certainly didn't appreciate that, and my family certainly didn't appreciate that. And so when you folks down in Oklahoma think that that's okay, and that you think not only is corporal punishment okay, but corporal punishment with special needs children is okay, wow. Maybe you should read that Bible you have. 855-752-4842. I thought there was something about love and effect and forgiveness in there.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Ready!
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Going to get to the lines, texters, and YouTubers. You guys are going nuts out there, man. Appreciate the passion. Let's put it that way.
Certainly,
appreciate the passion.
We love the engagement.
Lee, he points out he's from the Grove. Dom, we grew up in the same time, but I went to Appleton Public School, and I remember my second grade teacher handcuffing my quote unquote out of control classmate to his desk. I don't think that's okay. Is that
no,
okay?
That's not okay, not.
Right? You can't do that, right? Can't do that?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's not okay. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that.
You know, what about, you know, the ruler across the hand, right?
No.
If you write with your left hand, right?
Right.
Oh, you can't do that. Swack with the ruler.
There is not a shred of evidence that beating someone will lead to genuine improved behavior.
You know the old saying, Jess, the beatings won't stop until morale improves. It's the all-time motivation. Well, and think about this for a minute. This world with this, again, it kind of goes back to what is the point, right?
Sure.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
What is liberty if you can be assaulted at will? Because some ancient book says it's okay to do so, or because perhaps a teacher thinks it's okay to do so, or a cop thinks it's okay to do so. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that go against your liberty.
Right. If you're into being smacked around a little bit, that's fine. Ask someone to do it.
You're right. I mean, consenting adults.
Consent.
Knock yourself out.
Have fun.
Go after it, man. Be your best you.
But with a child?
With a child. Yeah, beat the children. Beat the children, and special needs children, because, you know, special needs children need special needs discipline, which apparently this guy wants it to be corporal punishment. You think special needs child is going to, hell, even a normal child, a non-special needs child is going to comprehend that, hey, you did something, so now you're going to get beat? What's the lesson there? We're going to teach
the lessons. The lesson there is if you don't do what someone wants, you will be hurt. You will be physically assaulted.
And therefore, why? If that's the case, then if someone doesn't do what I want,
then
I should do the same. I can assault them.
Right. That is the lesson.
That's the lesson. And that's what we're getting away from. Listen, the history of the world, right, is written by the wealthy and the powerful and the oppression of the minorities, and the minorities being whatever it means. And you talk, you know, as the atheist, you talk about religion sometimes on the show. The majority religion often subjugates the minority religion.
Indeed.
Happens all the time, even historically speaking, happens now. So when you're the minority in that, and it doesn't matter if you're a belief, if you're minority belief, you think the majority belief gives a damn? They don't, not historically speaking. They certainly don't. If you're an atheist, if you're one like me, man, not so long ago, you'd be murdered. The church would kill you. Literally.
Well, you're a filthy heathen.
Wow, thank you very much. I took a shower today. I'm not totally filthy. I do get a little sweaty and, you know, my forehead greases up a bit when I get excited on this show. Yeah. Filthy heathen. And what? Does not negate my right to exist on this earth. I didn't ask to be here. I don't know where I'm going when I'm dead. So,
in the ground.
In the ground. As far as that, I'm going to go right back where I came from. I don't know, but I do know at 53 years old and got a few miles on me that nobody else has a better beat on it than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly for me. No, don't tell me you know for me. You don't know for yourself. Because I've been around. I read the books. I know. I got the miles. You got some insight? Don't give me that. And don't bring that trash to the classroom. Don't bring that trash to government. That's not how it's supposed to be. You got your faith, you got your belief, knock yourself out. How much of that faith and belief goes against the pursuit of life, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? If you have a belief in that, well, then how can you call yourself patriotic American? Kind of goes against that, doesn't it? 855-752-4842. Let's get some of the callers. Annie from Watertown, you are up. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Geez, we're getting a little bit of an insight into what Jeff likes to do, huh?
Hey, no judging.
No judgment,
Annie.
Here.
No judgment. This is a safe place.
Yeah. This whole thing is a bit traumatic when I think of what I put my son through by thinking I was doing a good thing by sending him to a community Lutheran school, which ended up, I mean, like, he was bullied to begin with. I mean, not an easy child, but I mean, they did him know. And it's like, well, that's what all the kids do to each other. When I approached about bullying, I was like, okay. But right. I like to make the comparison of, I guess, Democrats think people are smarter than they are. And maybe Jesus thought we were smarter than we are. A lot of stuff in the Bible expects us to be smarter than we are. Like the eye of the needle is not a sewing needle. And also, sheep, you didn't mention, I don't know if he mentioned where the Bible says he can beat your kids, but if he's using the rod.
Yes, spare the rod, spoil the child, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were shepherds. They were shepherds. They didn't use the rod to beat the sheep. They used the rod to guide them.
Guiding. Well, guide him to do what we tell him to do, Annie. Otherwise, he'd get an ass beating. Thank you.
That is exactly the point she wasn't making, Dom.
Okay. To guide them, not to beat them, not to do that.
Right.
There's a representative from the great state of Wisconsin. His name is Shay Sortwell. He is up in the Green Bay area. And I remember this cat because when we were down, protesting during COVID, putting up the Christmas tree right next to the Republicans, they came over and stole our garland and we all got in trouble, got a ticket mailed to us. And anyway, I got in a little conversation with him. Hey, you guys are down here doing COVID, singing your songs. And what do you, I'll give him a dose. Like, what'd you do last week?
You know what I mean? Give me 5 bullet points.
And it came out in the news that he had apparently disciplined his children and had a similar, got in the news. And some charges were apparently never dropped or whatever the case. But there was a news situation with that. And that was the spare the rod, spoil the child defense, if I recall correctly. But you can Google it. Come back with us. Also, folks, end of the day, tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. An 81-year-old man from Door County was convicted this month of 15 felony counts, including charges of theft from a business and money laundering. Door County Sheriff's officials say a 10-month investigation into Dale Posh's actions uncovered 23 victims. Authorities are in the process of selling seized property as part of a court agreement to provide restitution to the victims. Posh is in the Door County Jail, awaiting sentencing on May 29th. Today is World Spay Day. In honor of the campaign, a Wisconsin group reminds residents about a specialty license plate to help fund spay and neuter efforts in the state. In 2024, The Fix Is In, a 100% volunteer nonprofit, helped fund nearly 700 spay and neuter surgeries for outdoor cats. Board President Bree Richardson says purchasing the specialty license plate is a simple but impactful way to support animal welfare and curb overpopulation. The organization says a single unspayed female cat can easily give birth to around 60 kittens within 5 years. For outdoor cats, spaying and neutering is especially critical. Only 25% of kittens survive to adulthood, with many facing starvation, disease, or deadly exposure to harsh weather. See our story at WGBW.fm for more information. Northeast Wisconsin fan favorite and St. Norbert College philosophy professor Ben Chan will appear in Jeopardy's second annual invitational tournament tomorrow evening. Chan and 26 others are competing for a $150,000 grand prize and the chance to compete in the Jeopardy Masters Tournament. Chan finished first runner-up in last year's Tournament of Champions. Check local listings for when Jeopardy airs near you. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor, Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with some rain and snow showers tonight, 10 lows in the low 30s. Any rain wraps up early tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild, highs in the low 40s. And again in the low 40s Thursday with a mix of sun and clouds. Near 50 Friday and breezy. It's 46 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
I swear to God.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. We're bouncing all around here, and I got lots of topics to get to, I swear. But I want to just throw this out, this corporal punishment issue. We talked about these state legislators in Oklahoma, really mad.
So mad
that they outlawed corporal punishment on special needs children.
My God, what are we going to do?
So in his defense, now it passed 30-something to like 12. I mean, so some folks are down for it.
Who are the 11 others? Right. We're like, no, you know what? We need to keep this law around. We got to be able to beat these kids.
Yes, beat them into submission. The beatings won't stop until morale improves. I brought up Wisconsin State Rep Shea Sortwell. He is currently in the Wisconsin legislature. He's from the 2nd Assembly District. And I remember this cat because we kind of jawboned at each other a little bit when COVID was on and they closed the Capitol down. And they invited a bunch of maskless Republicans, invited a bunch of people to come sing their Christmas carols at the Capitol. And so we brought a tree in and kind of busted chops a little bit because why not? And Shea was there, and I was, you know, inquiring as to what exactly he's getting done for those Wisconsin citizens. And he said, you know, his remark to me was, this is for the Wisconsin, my constituents, because he was going to be singing songs. But to that point, and we talked about corporal punishment, and I found my resource, my article here from the Green Bay Press Gazette. And we'll move on the topic, but I want to throw this out there. So you know, this isn't coming out of my mouth. Wisconsin legislator Shea Sortwell was referred for felony child abuse in 2013 before elected, but was never charged. Lawmaker said he used an object to punish his child, as the Bible instructed. He now sits on the Assembly's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. Let's see here.
Not a great look.
Police investigation took place in January of 2013 before Sortwell was elected to the Assembly, but he was then active in state and national politics, served on the Green Bay City Council. Police were made aware of the alleged abuse after a relative discovered 5 bruises while giving the child a bath. The relative took the child to a hospital in Two Rivers, according to a 35 pages of documents obtained by the Press Gazette through an open records request with the Green Bay Police Department. Sortwell told police the Bible was, quote, very specific about corporal punishment and loosely quoted a verse from Proverbs, whoever spares the rod hates their child, according to the...
Hey, Annie just called it that.
According to the police reports. Now, of course, now a member of the Assembly's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee told police he and his wife disciplined the child with an object rather than their hands, because hands are for loving. And he said if they were not using corporal punishment, they were not loving their child because they were not teaching what needs to be taught, the police report said.
Physical abuse needs to be taught?
Oh, it gets better. Sortwell explained to investigators that he or his wife typically struck the child twice whenever the child was being defiant, then would hug the child and sometimes give the child a Rice Krispies treat. After striking their child, neither parent made the practice of checking for injuries, the police report said. Think about that for a minute.
Didn't make a practice of checking for injury.
Yeah. Sortwell estimated the most recent time he struck the child was 3 days before the child was brought to the hospital with still visible marks, according to the
police
report.
3 days.
3 days.
And we still have bruises. We have bruises.
3 days later. After a 4-day investigation involving 4 police officers, 2 social workers, a child forensics officer, a trained agent to interview child victims of physical and sexual abuse, a child advocacy member, and a nurse practitioner, police recommended a felony child abuse charge against Sortwell and a felony charge of failure to act to prevent bodily harm against his wife. Both charges carry a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison. Now, the deputy DA, Dana Johnson, wrote in a September 15 letter to the Green Bay Police Department that he was unable to prove Sortwell's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and then he had to take into consideration, quote, the defense of parent using reasonable force to discipline the child. Johnson also declined to charge Sortwell's wife. Now, they avoided criminal prosecution while the Brown County Prosecutor's Office was filing child abuse charges against other defendants in similar cases around the same time, with all of those cases leading to convictions. So put that one in the show notes. Statement from Sortwell released by the police department blames the incident on a disgruntled family member. Yeah, maybe people don't like it when you're beating the kid, you know, 3 days later still has marks on their body. And the discipline, hitting twice with an object and then giving a hug and then maybe a Rice Krispie treat. Yeah. Public safety elected in the Wisconsin state capitol right now. Yeah, the best of the best of the best. But, you know, the Bible. So, you know, it's totally fine. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
You just blew me out of the way with that one right there. I mean, it just,
oh, you didn't know that one? Yeah, man. This guy's a hoot.
Maybe I heard about it and just kind of put it in my memory hole, but it just horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that he gets away with it because he had connections and other people, you know, actually got convictions for that kind of thing. Getting back to the education thing, part of it makes me think of this whole thing for, you know, for the segregation of schools and all that. Links back to the whole, and the antebellum South was actually illegal to teach slaves and, you know, black people to read.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole separate be equal. The schools were never equal. The schools still are not equal. I mean, we have the money, resources available to make all our schools a hell of a lot better, and we should be doing that rather than funneling money off to the religious schools, which some of our founders would have vetoed that kind of legislation. I mean, James Madison repeatedly vetoed bills when they were talking about, you know, providing funding for religious institutions.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually posted some of his veto messages on that, why he said it shouldn't be happening because he said it was a violation of the establishment clause.
Mark, and thanks for the call, man. Appreciate your input always. You know, some of these things seemed like, oh, that's just how it is. It's set in stone. And then all of a sudden, a judge or a Supreme Court, someone comes in and rolls that thing over and upends what we would consider to be quote-unquote normal. And I think, you know, how do we interpret? What's our baseline? What is the baseline? Well, again, it's got to go back to our founding documents. What is the point of our existence? I mean, we all come from different places, and I don't care what you say. None of us has to be here, and I don't care what you say. None of y'all know where you're going when you close your eyes and take that last breath. None of you. Now, I know you got. That's why they call it faith. You're hoping. Mm-hmm. You're hoping beyond hope that it's paradise awaits. I know you're thinking that, but you don't know. That's why they call it faith. That's not knowledge. It's faith. And that's okay. But what are our least common factors that bind us together? Well, it is certainly our existence on this rock hurling through space, right? Here we are all together. Whether we like it or not, here we are. And then what do we respect for individuals? Do we have that sense of liberty, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. How who's against that? Who's against a person's right to live, to exist? Is anybody? Who's against a person having their liberty, exercising their liberty, their freedoms? Who is against that? Who is against the pursuit of happiness? Oh my God. What kind of sadist are you? Who's against pursuing happiness? These are our base, most common factor, or least common factors that unite us all. We all bleed red, you know, we all breathe oxygen, we're all born, we're all gonna die. So how do we make this thing work? And in recent times, yes, historically recent times, given the time of humankind on this earth, we've decided, hey, this is what's important to us. This is what we reject: an absolute monarchy. We reject an absolute religion.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we do. We reject those things.
And it really is a very radically new idea.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, the authoritarian, the biggest sword, the biggest gun, the biggest person, you know, whatever the case was, the Colt 45 was a great equalizer. You know, little guys like me all of a sudden can defend yourself. This is our least common factor. And I think when we talk about these very difficult situations, politically, worldwide, all these things, I think it goes, put yourself in the position of how does this impact life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I mean, where else do we go if not to that? Because everyone's got different faith. Everyone's got different ideas. But do you, when you are out there and you're espousing your mega-ism, are you reflecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Or are you trying to subjugate people to your ideas? I'm an atheist. I don't buy any of that stuff. But you know what I'm not doing? I'm not making you believe that. That's up to you. I'm not gay. I'm not black. I'm not trans. But everyone has that right to exist, to do them for their life and their liberty and their pursuit of happiness. Doesn't have to conform to whatever you were brought up in. Expand your mind, man. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you are not pursuing those goals, if your politics, if your belief structure, if your culture does not embrace life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I question, then what is your motivation? What are you doing? To what point? To what end? To make people believe how you want to believe? To force that upon people? To subjugate people to your will? Well, that goes against everything that we have been trying to do in relatively recent history on this earth as we hurl through space. And the good news is I saw a headline that asteroid that had a 3% chance that apparently it's not gonna happen now.
A little bit of disappointment, I have to say. Just the tiniest bit.
I thought maybe it's our way out, baby. Finally. 855-752-4842. Put it in that context. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I know you megas. I know you Republicans. I know you got to believe that. You got to believe that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How do you not? And go from there. The freedom of religion. Freedom from religion. You know, pick your term. You got a right to it. Knock yourself out. But you don't have the right to force it on us. You don't have the right to take taxpayer dollars out of the till for your indoctrination. You want to do that? Pay for it on your own.
Right.
Like everybody else did until this little concept came up. Until the blacks and the whites had to start going to school together. Come on. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us today?
Hey, how you doing, Dom?
Awesome, man.
I went to parochial school and I had one teacher, you better sit up straight in class, and yeah. There was a paddle up there. And
paddle.
I'll tell you this, nobody messed around in his class. That was a parochial school, and it didn't help me any.
No, man. No doubt.
Hey, one quick thing. Mm-hmm. If the Republicans mess with Medicaid, I know a little bit about it because they drive people around. They'll be the last thing they'll do. Because even in gerrymandering districts, they're going to lose. And I got two good things about Trump that I like about Trump today, very quickly. One, he wants to get rid of the penny. I hate the penny, Dom. I hate it.
Oh, so man, a penny for your thoughts, man. What's wrong with the penny?
I'm gone, man. I hate him. That's why I use charge cards. And the other thing is he wants to do away with turning the clock back. That's another thing. So
I'm good with both of those.
Two good things I like.
All right.
I'll go with those two things. That's it. There's
all right, Paulie.
Yeah,
we can. I'm down with the stopping of the time change thing. I mean, I'm
stupid.
That's so dumb. The penny thing, I'm not convinced yet. I'm not sure what the economic.
It costs like 3 cents to make one penny.
But how much does it take to make a nickel?
Less. It's less. It's because of the copper.
Oh, see, copper. Folks, this is a Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. We're going to come back. Tell us something good. We love something good. We got a little toast from Harvey K to Thomas Paine.
And we're going to get to it this time.
We swear we're going to start with that. And the corporal punishment, Paulie, didn't work for me either. You know, my parents tried. That didn't work, so why even bother? 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us. Something good coming up next.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature. A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
We all running in the same race. Ain't nobody winning. We only here for a minute, yeah. So everybody slow down.
Is beautiful. Let's all take a moment now. Let's just try to breathe it in.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Life is beautiful, especially when you join us and tell us something good to wrap the day up. 855-752-4842, 855-757. Got Just PS on the board. You folks are on the lines and on the Twitter line. 855-752-4842. Let's see. We got a couple here that Just pointed out. Thank you. Just Troy from Mount Horeb said, enough with the religion bashing. I'm going to music. See you tomorrow. And then Jennifer followed up directly after that. Hi, Dom and Jess. Something good? Dom's spirited discussion of organized religion. It was cathartic to just listen to.
Proof right there that it's okay to have different opinions and experiences and views about the world.
Of course, of course.
And we welcome y'all.
We do welcome y'all. And those of faith as well. Listen, Troy, I think your religious privilege might be shining through. I've said it over and over again. It's up to you. Knock yourself out. You have your right. I got my right. You know, a couple of things I don't want. I don't want anybody, no matter what religion it is, to be trying to force that upon me or my children. I certainly don't want us using our tax dollars in doing so. Now, that being said, you have the right to worship whatever the hell you want. That's the whole point. That's part of that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness part, man.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm a religious woman.
You are, I know, and I'm not.
Not only that, I teach religion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. But it's not in a public setting.
Well, you're not getting paid by DPI to...
No, I'm not. I'm okay. Really not. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. No. Parents actually choose to send their children to get some supplemental education in the Jewish faith and practices and traditions. So that's what we do.
And that's what you do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I encourage that. If that's what you're into, do it. Knock yourself out, Troy, Jess, whatever. But here's the thing. Just don't use our tax dollars to do it. See what I'm saying? And oh yeah. And don't use that to justify, like, you know, beating people.
Right.
Just saying. All right. Harvey K., our pal Harvey K., you know he loves himself some Thomas Paine. While he was down in Florida, he'll be back next week. He's filling in. He's joining Jess here while I'm going to be in Florida. We're going to miss Harvey by one day. He's down at the Florida Veterans for Common Sense, Tom Paine's 288th birthday party. And Harvey gave the toast, and he has shared that with us, and we want to share it with you because we love us some Harvey, and we love us some Tom Paine, so let's hear it, Jess.
I'm down here in Sarasota, Florida.
In fact, I've been down here for quite a few days, fortunately escaping the worst of the weather in Wisconsin. I'm here to deliver the toast tonight at the Thomas Paine Party, sponsored every year by Florida Veterans for Common Sense, a progressive veterans group originally made up of World War II veterans all the way through to Iraq-Afghanistan veterans, mostly led, was originally founded, in fact, by Vietnam-era veterans. So tonight is the big night, and they expect usually a good crowd of 100 to 150 people, so it'll be all the more exciting. Here's my toast for those of you who obviously are not down here and able to hear it directly. In December 1776, during the darkest days of the Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote the first of his American crisis papers. Following devastating defeats by British forces in Brooklyn and Manhattan, George Washington and the Continental Army were retreating across New Jersey to the Delaware River and Pennsylvania. Paine rode with them, determined to continue the fight and defiantly reaffirming his disgust for Great Britain's King George III. This is what he wrote. "Let them call me rebel. I feel no concern from it, but I should suffer the misery of devils were I to make a whore of my soul by swearing allegiance to one whose character is that of a sottish, stupid, stubborn, worthless, brutish man. The greatest writer of the Revolution knew how to call out the enemy." Only 11 months earlier, Paine had published Common Sense, a pamphlet of just 50 pages that would turn the world upside down, calling on Americans to recognize that they were Americans, not Britons, and that they were fighting not for British rights, but for human rights. Paine, through words such as, "The sun never shined on a cause of greater worth," and "We have it in our power to begin the world over again," emboldened his fellow citizens to be to turn their colonial rebellion into a revolutionary war for not only independence, but also the making of a democratic republic. Now, however, it seemed America's cause would collapse on the frozen fields of Tory-dominated New Jersey. But encouraged by General Washington himself, Paine began to write again, and on a drumhead by campfire light, he penned words that would reinvigorate the struggle and resound through the generations. "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." So here we are today, just 17 months away from the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. And now we face our own times that try men's and women's souls. Sadly, we do not yet have our own Thomas Paine, but we do have his words to inspire and encourage us. Indeed, let them call us rebels, for we are all the heirs of Paine. And in that spirit, let us raise our glasses and drink both to the greatest revolutionary of a revolutionary age, Thomas Paine, and to those who are neither summer soldiers nor sunshine patriots, the men and women of Florida Veterans for Common Sense.
Wow. Harvey K., our friend, giving the toast at the Florida Veterans for Common Sense, Tom Paine, 288th birthday party. Cam, I can give you 30 seconds. Tell us something good, man.
Hey, I made a new friend by walking around out in the woods, and I was expecting to go and hang out with them after work a couple days ago. Sorry, I'm talking quiet. I have to whisper, otherwise she'll hear me. But the new friend, he was expected to show up for one of the visits, and instead I fell into a trap that this older lady put set up, and she ended up bringing me to her home, and usually I would want to escape, but she's been making me some pretty good food.
Cam, thank you for sharing. Have a great night. Folks, I'm off to Florida. Jess P.S. going to be covering for me. Matt Rothschild, James Santel. Now stick around. It is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Have a great week. Everybody slow down.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll be moving with the Malcors. Ben and Deanna will join us.
Plus, Sarah Connery will fill us in on the Authors Among Us book fair coming up this weekend. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House today, President Trump says he's behind Elon Musk's efforts to downsize the federal government. Musk's Doge team has sent out a second notice for federal employees to list their accomplishments in the past 5 days. The president also announcing his plans to offer U.S. citizenship, he says, for a price.
We're going
to
be selling a gold card. You have a green card. This is a gold card. We're going to be putting a price on that card of about $5 million, and that's going to give you green card privileges plus. It's going to be a route to citizenship.
Ukraine's President Zelensky expected to visit the U.S. on Friday. A Ukrainian official tells ABC News Ukraine and the U.S. have agreed to a framework on a minerals deal. Pope Francis remains in a Rome hospital as he battles double pneumonia. The Vatican says he remains in critical but stable condition and his spirits are high. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WG.